Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hey friends, my name is Dave. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters and happy to be sharing today again in our series called A Full Orchard. Before I do, I just want to share a couple highlights at Living Waters Church. We've certainly enjoyed this summer together. Summer's wonderful and we've appreciated our gathering in this format and of course things that we're doing together. It's been wonderful to sense the life and love of Jesus within our lives, within our relationships. Just want to ask you to join us in prayer and your consideration. On August 31st, we have a very special day being planned for Living Waters Church. Twofold, we are calling this day Rivers and highlighting the priority of water baptism in the morning. And want to encourage you, if you've never been water baptized, to consider that perhaps this would be a good time of year to make that step of Christian faith and personal testimony. Also, perhaps you're with friends and you're within community and you would be of a mind that there are certain people around you right now that would be blessed and encouraged by an encouragement to follow the Lord obediently in the waters of baptism. Love to hear from you. Join us in prayer. Let's make August 31st a very, very special day of celebrating Christ's work within us and obeying him as we recognize and appreciate water baptism. During the evening, we're gathering for an evening called Rivers, where we are prioritizing in prayer and worship and ministry one to another, the work of the Holy Spirit. Would you join us in prayer? Come as you can. We'd love to end this summer gathering on this wonderful and beautiful theme called Rivers. The Lord's doing great things, and we celebrate you. We celebrate God's work within your life this time of year. Well, again, we are in a summer series called A Full Orchard. One of the big idea statements that we've been carrying along as we've talked about this subject is this. Scripture teaches that when we place our trust in Jesus and become alive in his spirit, alive to his spirit's work in us, a deep cultivation begins. A cultivation, if tended to, will produce health and well-being. An orchard full of godly fruit or good and godly fruit. Our focus is not to be on self-improvement, but surrender to the Spirit and receiving the promise of God to produce a yield. Perhaps at some point you've watched a home makeover show. They're quite popular. They're quite fascinating. These shows feature homeowners that know that things could be a whole lot better and give full access to the renovators and the decorators to come on in. And so once they're invited in and the homeowners kind of step back, a work begins. A work begins that will often lead to repurposing of some things and, of course, redecorating a new look. Often on the homeowner's return, they're often heard saying, "Wow, we had no idea it could look or be like that." Perhaps this is a very suitable image as we give full access to Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Our lives, over time, become redecorated with the fruits of the Spirit, and they become repurposed as Holy Spirit does a deep cleansing and beautifying and repurposing work within our lives. And so this summer, of all that we've been learning, the prayer, "Holy Spirit, I surrender," is most necessary. As a Christian, perhaps we don't need more of the Spirit as much as we need to allow Holy Spirit to have more of us. that would be a central prayer this summer that we're invited to pray. Again, our series has been called A Full Orchard, and we've been taking a look at Holy Spirit's work using a passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, which lists the themes and direction that Holy Spirit's work moves us along towards. Today, we're specifically looking at the godly fruit and godly characteristic of gentleness. And we're asking the question, how does Holy Spirit witness God's gentleness to us, and how does this repurpose and redecorate our lives? And draw your attention to a passage in Matthew chapter 11. It says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, to fully appreciate this passage, we would be wise to consider the context in which Jesus shares this. Jesus' invitation in these verses and statements in these verses came at a time when the Roman Empire exerted significant political control over Judea. They ruled mercilessly, crushing opponents by demanding high taxes and placing a controlling yoke or a burden upon people living under the rule of their empire. So in this passage, Matthew is noting Jesus' statement, "I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart." These would have been characteristics that would not be thought of as a dominant quality characteristic of rulers of that day. Ask you, what comes to mind when you think of the characteristic of gentleness? What comes to your mind? Gentleness. Well, perhaps there's all kinds of things that would include perhaps a baby. The gentleness as observed through a baby. Perhaps you would think of a kitten lying with a puppy, and you've seen it on Instagram, this beautiful, gentle view of two pets, two animals getting along. Perhaps a lamb of all the larger four-legged animals comes to mind. Perhaps a lamb in your mind would represent and reflect gentleness. I would suffice to say that the Roman authorities worked hard to avoid the appearance or reputation of gentleness. This is why many Jews and Gentiles were quite confused by Jesus, the supposed king of the Jews and Gentiles, where Jesus came as a baby. And when Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist, John said, "This is Jesus, the Lamb of God." Two images that we would perhaps reference the word gentleness, a baby and a lamb. As Jesus' ministry continued, we read in the Gospels how he quieted violent weather storms, he healed sick people, and he spoke timely words in very gentle ways. In Matthew 21, Jesus clearing out the temple of its money changers, reinstating its purpose to be a house of prayer, carrying into the temple that day all the power and all the authority Jesus had to exercise, we see him exercise control as he confronted the sinful activity. Furthermore, at his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, in retaliation to Jesus' arrest, Peter takes off the ear of a soldier. Jesus rebukes Peter and then heals the soldier arresting him. And of course, finally on the cross, after his abuse, torture, and suffering, Jesus said, "Forgive them, they know not what they're doing." When you want to consider what gentleness looks like, take a good look at Jesus. And as we do, we will see on display and learn about a gentleness that perhaps is different than what we're used to, and perhaps different than how we would define it. Biblical gentleness is not a natural personality trait. It's not a discipline. Gentleness is not about being quiet or passive when faced with injustice. Gentleness, as defined in the Bible and exemplified by Jesus, is strength under control, pictured perfectly in God's disposition towards his children, all of humanity, through his humility. Gentleness, again, is not meekness or weakness. Gentleness is strength under control. Strength under control. This summer, Julie and I have been playing a lot of pickleball, and we're doing our best to get a little better. We've recently found ourselves up at all the new courts at Langley Event Center, and we got into a game with two people we knew, one specific person we knew to be someone who was very, 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 very good. After a couple games, it was quite obvious that we weren't going to be able to take a game on them. And this one particular man who was very, very good couldn't help himself. And he started to make some comments about our play. While they perhaps weren't invited, they were welcomed. This particular player has a 4.7 rating, and to some of you that means nothing. To others, you would recognize that's a pretty good rating, 4.7. So he's got a bit of cred to his past and, of course, to his ranking and, of course, to his observations about our play. He began to talk about our play with this statement. He said, "You know what? You're very good players." Again, we're really not compared to him. But he said, "You're actually a very good player. And the only difference between me and you is that I," literally what he said, "I have strength under control." I was in the midst of preparing this message to go, hey, we've got some common language here. Strength under control. If you were to watch him play, you would realize his strength, but his strength under control allows for him to have a gentle touch, a gentle response, and a gentle play. He has strength under control. On any given day, you and I bump around within one of three options when it comes to control. Number one, there's times when we are, quote, out of control. That gets seen through anger. It gets displayed through disruptive behavior. You know when you're out of control, perhaps internally and perhaps externally. This past summer, Julie and I were driving back from English Bay along Pacific Boulevard, and there was a construction at an intersection that at one time we were very, very familiar with the traffic pattern. It was a darker day, and as I recall, it was raining. And as I made my way through the intersection under construction, I ended up veering into the wrong lane on the other side of the intersection. Made a mistake, was all me. As I made that move, rather than left, I veered right. I heard a honk behind me, to which I said, "Guilty, I made a mistake," and I even tried to wave off a recognition of my poor driving, actually, in some ways. I thought that would be enough to suffice, but little did we see this truck come roaring up behind, to our right, came up beside, and then through the window, looking down on us, went hot on us. Man, language and irate, completely a person that was completely out of control. Now, I did make the mistake. But wow, in the midst of that mistake, this person went from 0 to 100 and was completely out of control. After berating us, they stormed off, they drove ahead, and they were gone. A perfect example in some way of being out of control. A second characteristic, perhaps, is when we feel we are self-controlled, or we have self-control. These times in our lives when we practice self-talk and discipline to the point where we would say of ourselves, we've got this. We have strength and we're doing our best to keep it all together. We're trying to be good to ourselves and we exercise self-control. So out of control, self-control. But what biblical gentleness, receiving and giving calls us to is not to being, of course, out of control or even self-control. The Bible calls us to be under control, under God's control. God made us as humans to live under his control. And gentleness is strength under control, not our own control, but under the control of God. Our words, our actions, our gestures, our behaviors, our will can be destructive or it can live under the control of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. According to our verse, Jesus is inviting us to live under the control of God and be truly influenced by his gentleness. So what can we expect when we pursue and when we live under the control of God? Well, today I would suggest four things. Number one, we will witness and experience God's gentleness or God's strength under control. Isaiah 40 says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him." Verse 11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young." Living a life under control means we submit to God's power, his rule, and his might, realizing that that is expressed through his tenderness, his gathering, his caring, and his gentleness. This gentleness is to be pursued through our determination to live under the control of God. We've been noting all summer that a priority prayer is to be, "Holy Spirit, I surrender to you." Perhaps again, repeating myself, but perhaps we don't need more of Holy Spirit. The discipleship issue in front of us is Holy Spirit needs more of us, needs more room to move, needs for us to stand back so that he can purpose and redecorate our lives. If our posture is one of surrender, Holy Spirit will decorate our life, create, design, repurpose, and change us to be people that live for the glory of God. 1 Timothy 6 says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." We are to pursue the gentleness of God. How do we do that? It's by coming under the control of God. So as we come back to our text, we can expect now three other benefits of God's gentleness. So number two, under God's gentle control, we receive his yoke. A yoke may not be a familiar term. What is this yoke that God wants us to have? To be given or wear a yoke means to be joined together. It means to have a coupling. Example, perhaps we're most familiar with the word yoke as it relates to what an ox would wear. There's a picture on the screen. The yoke ensures the sharing of the load between two and enhances the ability to work as one unit. God expresses his gentleness by seeing the burdens and loads we carry and says, "Let me take that from you and let me give you something that I will carry with you." And in our text, Jesus calls that a yoke. Take my yoke. We are not to lose sight that the burden or yoke we receive from God is to feel easy and light. And so the big idea, perhaps, is if the responsibilities we have, the concerns we have, do not feel easy and light, then perhaps we've not received from God, or perhaps we're not properly sharing His yoke. We are to carry only what He gives us to carry. That is, we experience His gentleness when we are under His control. Some people are most used to a lifestyle or a narrative where things are out of control, and when we are characterized by people that are striving for self-control. We give God our lives, our concerns, and things feel momentarily a bit easy and light, but we get impatient, we want self-control, and it's as if we take all of our concerns, our fears, and our doubts back, and it leads us again to things and perhaps feeling like things are out of control, or at least we have a renewed sense of self-control. And again, that will only last for a short while, and it creates a cycle of negative patterns that this verse is calling us out of. We are to live under the long-term control of God, and we will as we take His yoke, and He shares our load and our concern that He gives us. Thirdly, under God's gentle control, we will receive His learning. He offers to help us learn. Learn from me, this scripture says. So as the Spirit witnesses to us and serves us, transforms us, redecorates our hearts, our minds, our lives, repurposes us, we learn and benefit from all the ways the Spirit is coming upon us. We learn all the good benefits of God's gentleness. As Galatians 5:22-23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Learning is not merely intellectual. It's not about understanding a law. It's about relationship and being transformed. Living with Holy Spirit allows for a decoration and a repurposing of our lives. And finally, under God's gentle control, our text says we receive His rest. The rest He offers, based upon the use of the exact word in the text here, is about the right now and about our forward-facing future. Rest is something that God wants us to have, especially as we consider the future. Think about it. Our concerns are always about how the future will play out. Our securities are all about the future. We don't worry about the past. We can't. The past has already happened. We can worry about how the past affects the future, but again, we're forward-facing. We don't worry about the past, and most often we handle the present pretty good. Even when we're facing seems so out of control. Our main concerns are mostly forward-facing. How will the future unfold? And it's in those times our human response can be, wow, things are out of control, or I have to take self-control, or I can live under the control of God, receive His gentleness and rest. In the midst of the busy lives we lead, we often refer to rest as something out there. And we hear ourselves saying, well, I'm so looking forward to the rest in a couple weeks. I've just got to get through this busy period. Oh, this is a hard season that I'm managing and trying to move through positively. I can't wait for the other side. I just have to manage myself and so I can get to myself over there to the better place. That's self-control. Always trying to manage ourselves rather than live under the control of God each and every day as we are forward-facing. Our text reminds us that we find rest outside of ourselves, yes, but is to be found as we surrender to Holy Spirit and we benefit from His gentleness. We benefit from His strength under control, coming to the place of allowing Holy Spirit to have control all day and every day. So under God's gentle control, we can expect to experience His gentleness, His yoke, His learning, and His rest. This is why Paul says to the Philippian church, Philippians 4, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. What is to be evident? What is Paul getting at when he's teaching the Philippians and teaching us today? Well, notice the language. Paul says, let your gentleness. In other words, as God gives us gentleness, it becomes our gentleness, my gentleness. God is good to me personally. His gentleness at any given time is different one person to the next, but our witness to others is that we have found gentleness outside of ourselves, and we are to review, allow the witness of Holy Spirit to, again, witness God's gentleness to us, God's power, His rule, strength is alive in our lives and is evident to all. There's a witness to that. We have witnessed this, and that is forefront in our lives. Secondly, witness. Our gentleness is most naturally then able to be expressed to others. Potentially because of how cared for we feel and are, how resourced and how secure we are and feel, because of this, our capacity changes. Because we're cared for and we then have capacity to care for someone else. Catch that? Paul says, let your gentleness be evident. So again, first it's what we receive and how we're cared for. Because of that, we are positioned. We have an increased capacity to carry someone else's yoke, to share lessons, and to lead others to rest in Christ. For how often do we fall short of helping others because we feel we have to first take care of ourselves? That's why Paul says, may your gentleness be evident. So we rehearse and we prioritize the receiving and care of God's gentleness again so that we're best positioned and have capacity to help others. This paints a beautiful picture of the potential in all our human interactions for people to experience the gentleness of God through us, and of course, as we people witness God's gentleness to us. This gentleness preserves relationships. It creates health and unity within a body because there is a gentleness that's on full display and is being fully experienced. Gentleness is powerful. Ephesians 4 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So as we close, let me ask you, does the word gentle come to mind when you think about God? To date, our passage says it can, the gentleness of God. And as we surrender to Holy Spirit and let Him work in our lives, as He redecorates our lives and repurposes our lives, as we take our hands off, we surrender, we will experience God in His fullness, which will include God's gentleness. So as I conclude, my question and my prayer is truly the passage that we've been looking at today, our text, our prayer, that we would take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves today and we surrender to you. We bring to you areas in our lives that may to you seem completely out of control. We surrender, Lord, our tendency to often be independent and not dependent. Lord, we confess our self today, our interest to have self-control. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for holding things close to our hearts rather than giving all things to you. Lord, our prayer for ourselves, our prayer for one another today, as we would trust you with the full weight of our lives, all matters of our lives, our present concerns and our forward-facing ideas. We want to be a people that live under your control and experience your strength and your gentleness. Lord, come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Come in fully today. We pray that as we move along this summer, that we would experience your life and your love. And again, as we close, we pray for our gatherings on August 31st. We pray for our gathering around the themes of rivers, that you would move mightily as we follow you and obey you, and as we open up your heart completely to the work of the Holy Spirit, as we do it individually, as we do it as friends and family, and as we do it as a larger community. May you, Jesus, be glorified in our lives as we surrender to you and as we receive from you today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.